But you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Thus, King, they crucified, they mocked and scorned him as he died. The spotless king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Lemon, and for that song. And boy, the Lamb of God, I think there's going to be a lot of worship, a lot of praise to the Lamb of God when we get to heaven. And we see so many things that we're going to be participating in, and we get to sing about those things while we're here. Praise God for the shed blood of Christ. Psalm 19 is where we're going to be this morning. Psalm 19, we're going to read just one verse, verse number 7. For the message this morning, Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 7. All right, would you stand with me, please, out of love and respect for the reading of the Word of God, Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. I said the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I want to take the last portion of that verse, if I could, this morning, in verse number 7, where it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It is certain. It is impossible to doubt or dispute it. And I want to take that phrase this morning and preach to you on this subject. You can be sure of some things. You can be sure of some things. Now, Father, would you bless the time that we have together in this auditorium this morning? Speak to us, precious Holy Ghost of God, and convict in the areas that we need to be convicted. Would you direct us in the area and the way that we're to go? And we ask you now to bless our time. Speak to us, we pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, it's been said that there are only two sure things in life, death and taxes. Oh, by the way, did y'all know today is April the 3rd? Okay, I just want to know if you were counting down to tax day. Just want to remind you that April 15th is coming. But it's been said that death and taxes are the only two sure things in life. Well, that may be correct in the secular world, but I'm here to tell you today that there are some things that are absolutely sure in life as well. I'm talking about certain. I'm talking about impossible to dispute or impossible to doubt. You ever hear people say, you can't be sure about anything? Well, of course you can. And let me tell you why. Surety is supported by truth. Surety is supported by the establishment of fact. You see, where there is no truth, or where there is no the establishment of fact, there can be no surety or confidence. So people say, you can't be sure about anything, preacher. Well, of course I can. Let me give you a few. I found out that when I hit my finger with a hammer, it hurts. And may I say to you, it hurts every time. That's a sure thing. You know why? Because it's established by fact. If you don't believe it, come up here. Let me step on your finger and see if it doesn't hurt every single time. You know what that is? I'm sure that when I hit my finger with a hammer, it's going to hurt. May I say to you also that if I don't eat, if I don't drink, I'm eventually going to starve. That's a surety. Why? It's established by fact. You say, how do we know? Because people have done it before. And you know what the end result was? They died. That's a sure thing. It's true. May I say also to you that I know something else for sure, that Jesus is coming back? He tells us in John chapter 14, verse number 3, that he was coming back. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I know that Jesus is coming back. Now, may I say, on the other hand, there are some things that I'm not sure about because I'm not sure when he's coming back. I know for sure he is, but I just don't know when he's coming back. May I say also to you that I'm not sure about when I'm going to die? But I know if the Lord tarries his coming any length of time, I will die. I just don't know when I'm going to die. And may I say to you this morning, you don't know when you're going to die either. That's the reason we've got to be ready to meet the Lord at all times. Why? We're not sure when we're going to die. I'll tell you something else I'm not sure about. I'm not sure if there's going to be a tomorrow. You see, isn't it amazing how we plan so much of our life based on tomorrow or the next day or the next day? Now listen, I'm not against planning for the future. But what I'm saying to you, I can plan for the future, but I got to live like today was my last day. I must live like today is the last day that I have on planet Earth to serve people and to serve the Lord. You see, there are some things that I'm sure about, and there are some things that I'm not sure about. But you know, when I find and search the scriptures, I find a great number of things that we can be sure about. I'm talking about that are established by truth and revealed by example and life experience. You say, what are some of those things, preacher, that we can be sure about? Well, I'm going to give you something. Now, you're going to need your Bible this morning because we're going to turn to a lot of Bible. Y'all ready? So you're going to have to let your fingers do the walking through your King James Bible. All right, is that all right with y'all? All right, here's number one. Number one, and that's this. Be sure that evil is determined against you. Be sure that evil is determined against you. Take your Bible, go to Luke 22. Go to Luke 22, if you would, please. Okay, Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, speaking to Simon Peter, he said, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now may I say to you this morning that here's the apostle, and Jesus looked at him and said, may I inform you that Satan desires you? Can you imagine how Peter, this may have taken him being an apostle and one who walked with Jesus for over 3 years? But I'm here to tell you as a preacher of the gospel, and I want you to look up here at me for just a moment. Satan desires you as well. There is evil determined against you. He hates you. He desires to destroy your life. He desires to destroy your family. He desires to destroy your children. He desires to destroy everything about you as a believer. There's evil determined against you. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. You'll recognize it when you get there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, same as Satan, as a roaring lion walketh about, listen now, seeking whom he may devour. I'm here to tell you there's something that you can be sure about this morning, and that is that evil is determined against you. And that evil does not find its place from God. It finds its place from evil, from Satan, from the dark side of life. He desires to have you. He desires to devour you this morning. May I say to you, folks, that Satan can only enter through the doors that you open to him. May I remind you in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, the scripture says, behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, he said, I will come in. Now, let me say this to you about the devil. Do you know the devil mimics everything that God does? So you know what? He's standing at the door knocking this morning as well. And he says, hey, if any man open the door, I'll come in and I'll make you rich. I'll make you famous. I'll let you have anything that you possibly will want. All I want is just give me your soul. Just give me the thing that is most precious. I'm here to tell you this morning that he can only enter through the doors that are opened to him. You say, like what doors? Like the door of anger. Do you know we have a lot of angry people today? Just angry. They're angry at everything and everybody. You say, well, how can you tell, preacher? Just look at their face. Their face tells you. They're just angry. They're angry about their circumstances. They're angry about this, or they're angry about what's happened in their life, or they're angry because someone has not treated them well. Let me tell you something. Anger is a door that opens up, and Satan will come right through that door. May I say to you that he'll come through the door of hate? You ever heard people say, I hate them? Careful now, because you're opening a door up that you're not going to be able to close. Because once that door is open, may I remind you that he'll put his foot in there to become the door stopper. And once you open that door up, he's going to come in. You say, what does he want? He wants to set up a stronghold in your life. He wants to set up a bunker in your life and hunker down there and control you. Tell you something, it's sure, evil's determined against you. He'll come in through those doors. He wants to devour you. He wants to have you this morning. May I say also that Satan holds people captive at his will? Would you take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2? Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, if you don't have your Bible with you this morning, look on by with someone there. Everybody needs to see a copy of the Scriptures this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan holds people captive at his will. Listen, he'll use the door of anger. He'll use the door of hate. He'll use the door of unforgiveness to get in. Listen, he's not really concerned about what the door is. He just wants you to open the door. I'm just here to tell you, you can be sure evil is determined against you. And he holds people captive at his will. He'll hold people captive through guilt. Listen, you know what? I would probably say in a crowd this size, we got a bunch of people this morning that's being held hostage by guilt. Guilt of the past. Guilt of what's going on in your life today. If you're a child of God and you're not living for God, listen, I promise you the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you. What you do is you just assimilate it and interpret it and define it as guilt. It's conviction. He's convicting you about your life and about your relationship with the Lord. Sometimes he holds people captive through guilt. Sometimes he holds them captive through vices of the flesh, through habits, through addictions. I'm telling you, folks, the clinics today are filled with people. They're standing in line. They're on a waiting list because of addictions. Addictions today. Why? Satan has got in and he's gotten a stronghold in their life through vices. And listen, I could go on and on and on, but Satan uses anything and everything at his disposal. And may I say, you know who supplies most of the items that he holds us captive with? We do. It's like, here's my finger, here's the hammer, hit it. We supply everything. He doesn't have to go looking very far. I'm just here to tell you that be sure there is evil determined against you. There is an intent, listen to me, to hurt you and to hurt you deeply. Now listen, one thing before we move on. When those times come, always remember that there's a God in heaven that understands everything about what's going on. He hasn't lost sight of you. He hasn't lost sight of what your need is. I'm just here to tell you, there is a devil, he is real, and there's evil intended against you, determined against you. Let me show you something else you can be sure of. Turn to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter number 32. People say, oh, preacher, you can't be sure of anything. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can tell you this morning, you can be sure evil's determined against you as a child of God and against you as an individual. And may I remind you that who's behind that evil is Satan himself. God is not your enemy. God is your friend. He's not your enemy. Numbers 32 and verse number 23. Everybody find your place? But if you will do not, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Now notice this. And be certain, be sure your sin will find you out. It will find you. May I say to you that the scriptures, hey, this isn't something that the preacher's saying. This is something God said. He says you can be certain about it. Your sin will find you. It will. Listen, it cannot be disputed. It will find you out. You see, your secret sins are only hid to the human eye. They're not hid to the eye of God. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we think that we're hiding something. You may be hiding it from human eyes, but you listen to me, you're not hiding it from divine eyes at all. Because his eyes are in every place and it's beholding everything that you are doing. Oh, listen now, I'm going to get personal, okay? He knows everything you're thinking right now. Like, I wish that preacher would hurry up so we can get out. He knows what you're thinking. You say, oh my goodness, the pot roast is burning. We got to hurry. Hey, listen, folks, let the pot roast burn. You know what's important right now? It's what's happening in your life right now. It's what's going on right now. Why? Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to have 2 or 3 hours. He knows what we're thinking right now. He said, be sure, be certain. It's without doubt that your sin will find you. It will not go away. God will not ignore it. And then he said, it will find you out. Now, I found out in the Christian life that God is so gracious that he will give you plenty of opportunity to settle up with him in a private manner. Now, if you choose not to settle up with God, you say, how do I settle up? There's a word in the Bible called repent. And he said, if you'll settle up with me in a private manner, then we won't have to go outward with certain things in your life. But may I say to you that most of us, we're too stubborn to go settle up with God, so he has to bring it outward. He said, your sin will find you out. There's no place to hide from it. You see, God is a holy God. And He will allow, listen to me, the consequences of sin follow its natural course. He'll let it follow its natural course. You say, what's that course? Destruction, sorrow, unhappiness, hurt, and in some cases, maybe even death. You say, how, preacher? I'm here to tell you, I tell you something sure, your sin will find you out. I'm looking at people, I have no idea what everybody in this room is involved in, but I'm here to tell you, listen, mark her down, you can put it down in indelible ink. Your sin's going to find you. Now you can either settle up with God, or He's going to shout it on the housetops. He's going to shout it on the housetop, and then you say, whoa, God wouldn't do that to me. Oh, is that right? Yeah, He will. You know why I know that? Because He's no respecter of persons. What do you think He did with David's sin? Do you think He swept it under the rug? No, He shouted on the housetop. Why? Because David, many times in his life, yeah, he made mistakes. Yes, he made some terrible decisions, just like we do. But the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the good and the evil. I'm here to tell you two things we've learned you can be sure of. Be sure, number one, there's evil determined against you. Satan desires to have each of you this morning. Number two, the sure thing is that your sin will find you out. May I say number three, you're going to have to go to Isaiah chapter 55. Number three is this, be sure that God will honor His word. God will honor His word. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Okay, Isaiah 55 and verse 11. The Lord says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, it's not coming back without producing something. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I'm here to tell you, number three, be sure God will honor His word. He said that it'll go forth and it will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose in the thing whereto He said, I sent it. Isn't the important thing this morning, dear folks, is to understand that we have in our hands the wonderful, the inerrant, the precious, inspired Word of God. And God is a God of His Word, and He's going to honor His word. May I say to you that He will reward the righteous and condemn the unrighteous according to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 8. He's going to reward the righteous. Now, I don't know about you, but I think most everybody here likes to be rewarded in some shape, form, or fashion. You know, when you're a kid, you can reward a kid by a piece of candy. But you know, when we get adult, we like to be rewarded in different things like raises on the job. Yeah, we like that. That's a reward. Why? It's a reward for working hard. It's a reward for being faithful. It's a reward for doing what we said we were going to do. May I say that we have a God in heaven that will reward the righteous both in this life and the one to come. You get a double portion. He'll reward you now and in heaven someday. Why? Because He's a God of His Word. You can be sure He's going to honor the Word of God. May I say to you, He will answer prayer. He will answer prayer. But may I say to you, James chapter 5, verse 16 said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Didn't say the effectual fervent prayer of a hypocrite. Didn't say the effectual fervent prayer of a heathen. It said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You say, what's that word righteous mean, preacher? It means doing right. Putting God in the place that He deserves. Allowing Him to have the preeminence in our lives. God will answer prayer. You see, the key to answered prayer is the commitment to practice doing right. The commitment to practice doing right. Now, folks, listen to me. Most folks will sit back and say, man, I'm telling you, that family, they seem like they always get their prayers answered. Well, can I say to you, there might be a reason that they get their prayer answered. It might be because they put God preeminent in their life. It may be that God is at the center focal point of their home, and that may be that He is part of every part of their life, including their giving to their church. Amen. Say, preacher, what'd you throw that in? I don't know. I just figured it'd be the right place to throw it in. So I threw it in right there. And I'm not talking about just giving tithes and offerings. I'm talking about giving of your time, your talents, your abilities. Some of you in this room right here today have got some incredible abilities, and you're not using them for Jesus. You're not. We've got Sunday school classes that could use some help in them. Some of you have some teaching abilities. I'm just here to tell you, God will answer prayer. May I also say that He will forgive any sin? I said He will forgive any sin. Say, oh, but preacher, you don't understand. Well, it's not up to me to understand. God already understands. He already knows. Now, let me tell you something. For those of you that are new to Christianity, new to church, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. God already knew what you was going to do before you ever did it. And yet, you know what He was still willing to do? Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He was still willing to die for you in advance. Already knowing what you and I were going to do. So don't tell me that God doesn't understand. Oh, yes, He does. Because He already knew what you and I were going to do before. That's the reason the Scripture is very plain that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why, He will forgive any sin. He wants to restore fellowship. Y'all do know that's what's behind all this, right? Relationship and fellowship. You see, He wants to extend unconditional love. Easiest verse in the Bible. For God so loved. It didn't say, for God loved. It said, for God so loved the world. Which is far beyond what you and I can comprehend. It's called unconditional love. That He was willing to send His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, just as the mercy of God forgives our sin, the holiness of God will allow the consequences, like I said a while ago, to run their course. So just because we get on our knees and say, oh Lord, forgive me, and God says, forgiven. But there's still consequences for our actions. See, here's what we want. We want God to forgive us and take all the consequences away. You see? Now here's what we can do. Now tell me how ludicrous that is. That's like taking strychnine poison. And we take strychnine poison, get on our knees after we've swallowed it and say, oh Lord God, please forgive me, I shouldn't have taken that. Forgiven. Why? Because it's going to take its actions. Taking strychnine has consequences. We want God, listen, I'm telling you, we want God to do everything and us do nothing. We want Him to forgive us and pump our stomach. Now, I'm just saying to you, He will forgive any sin. Let me give you another one quickly. Quickly. Something else you can be sure of. You can be sure of salvation and the way of salvation. You can be dead sure on what salvation is. Hey, God's not trying to play hide and seek. He's not playing hide and seek with you being saved. Why? Because He knows us. He knows us. Hey, may I tell you that when my 5-year-old granddaughter and we go and she likes to play hide and seek and stuff, I don't try to hide hard. Why? Because I want her to find me. You see, God's not trying to hide salvation from you. He's trying to lay it out there in the open so that you and I can find it. Be sure of salvation and you can be sure of the way of salvation. May I remind you that salvation according to the Scripture and from the mouth of Jesus, it's available to everyone? You mean anybody, preacher? I said anybody. Everybody. Listen, Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Guess who that is? Everybody! It's everybody. That's who he came to seek and to save. May I remind you in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means who? Soever. It's everybody. Hey, I'm here to tell you, it's available for everyone. Now, though it's available for everyone, I must say this. It's available only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You say, yeah, okay, keep going, preacher. There's more to it. Just hang on just a minute. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But those next two words, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, this is the only way that you're getting to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Why? Can I say to you, salvation, it's a sure thing and it's a sure way. It's a sure thing and it's a sure way. Oh, this is good. Now, hang on now. Once you get it, it's forever. You say, oh, preacher, I don't believe that. All right, well, then someone explain to me and define what everlasting means. Would someone explain to me what eternal means? Does eternal mean just until I sin the next time? Well, if that's the case, then Jesus told a fib in the Bible. Because he said, if once you get it, it's everlasting life. It's eternal life. It's forever life. And may I remind you that it doesn't begin 10 years from now. It doesn't begin when you die. Listen, when I got saved, salvation began for me right then. Right then. It's forever. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Be sure that once you've trusted Jesus, He is your Savior forever. You know what you can be sure of this morning? You can be sure of salvation. It's available for all. It's through Jesus Christ. Once you get it, it's yours forever. And it's free to everyone. And then let me just throw this out there and finish up, and that's this. One other thing that you can be sure that every person in this room, God has a will for your life. He's got a will for your life. And I don't mean just whatever will. He's got, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a perfect will. Your spot in the whole plan of God is awaiting you. You see, it's a will designed just for your life. It's designed just, listen, some of us live in homes that are custom built. That means that they've got all the little different things in there that we liked and stuff. That's why they call them custom homes. May I say too that Jesus Christ, when He died, has a custom built will for your life. Not only does salvation come, but He's got a will for your life. God created you for Himself. And you know what He's doing? He's attempting to fulfill that will in your life. According to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, we are marred clay in the potter's hand. And you know what He's trying to do? He's trying to apply the pressure to form you and conform you to the image of His Son. You see, God is attempting to fulfill that will. And then let me say lastly here, we will be judged according to that will. When you face God one day, you say, well, I think I lived in the will of God. No, you don't need to think. You better know. Because when you face Him, your day of judgment before God is going to be compared to what you did in your life compared to what His will was for your life. And may I say to you this morning, He's not trying to play hide and seek with the plan of salvation, and He's not trying to play hide and seek with the will of God for your life. You say, how do I know, preacher? It's called, you're going to have to get on your knees and pray and say, Lord, would you show me what my purpose in life is, what your will is for life, I promise you, He will show you. Why? You're not trying to play hide and seek. There's some things that are very, very sure this morning. Let me just remind you that evil, be sure, evil is determined against you. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Be sure that your sin will find you out. If you're sitting in this congregation this morning, you think you're hiding something from God and you hadn't settled up with God, get ready because it's fixing to be shouted on the housetop. And let me tell you something you're not thinking about. It's going to hurt everybody you love around you. It's going to hurt every single one of them. Settle up with God this morning. May I say to you, you can be sure that God will honor His Word. You can be sure of salvation in the way of salvation. And you can be sure that He has a will for your life. Would you come this morning? When we have our invitation, would you come and kneel and be willing to ask God, what is your perfect will for my life? Because there are some things you can be sure of. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? No one moving around, every head bowed, every eye closed. How many would say this morning, preacher, I've had a born-again experience with Jesus. There is no question in my heart, no question in my life that I've had a born-again experience with Jesus. I'm saved. If the trumpet sounded today, I'm going to heaven. How many say, preacher, that's me? Slip your hand up, say, I'm going to raise my hand as a testimony, as a believer, and as a child of God. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, Father, my prayer this morning is that you'd bless those who raise their hand and that they know for sure that heaven's their home. I also would like to ask you this morning, Lord, that there were some who could not raise their hand. I don't want them to leave today without knowing Christ. Lord, they can be sure of heaven as their home. They can be sure of an eternity with God forever and ever if they'll come. Please, there are others, Lord, this morning that are not sure about your will. I pray that you'd reveal that to them. There are some, Lord, that are seeking your will about a church home or about a place of service or whatever it may be. Would you reveal that will to them today? And then, Father, would you show your grace today in this invitation time that Christ might have the preeminence in this service? Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one else is looking around but me. There were some that could not raise their hand, and I want to pray for you. This is a very important time in your life, very important time in our invitation. I wonder if there might be one or two here that this morning that would say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand just a minute ago. I couldn't say that I'm saved, but I want to be. Would you pray for me that God would do something and open my heart this morning to what His will is for my life? And you'd say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I want to be. Slip your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. God bless you. And God bless you. Anybody else say, preacher, that's me. I can't honestly say that I'm saved. I don't ever remember having a born-again experience with Christ. Would you pray for me? Who will join these two? God bless you. God bless you. Who will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. You can slip your hand right back down. Say, preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. How many would say this morning, say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's biblical. And I know it's what the Lord would be pleasing to the Lord. How many would say this morning, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized, and I know it's the right thing to do. I want you to slip your hand up high. Say, I've already been saved, but never been baptized after I got saved. You say, preacher, pray for me. God bless you and you and you. All right, here's four. Who will join these four? Say, preacher, I've been saved, but never been baptized after I got saved. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. All right? How many would say, preacher, I need to find the perfect will of God for my life. I know He's got a will. I've known it for a long time that He's got a will. I've heard it taught. I've heard it preached. Would you pray that God will reveal that to me and show me what His perfect will is? How many would say, preacher, I need prayer about finding the perfect will of God. I know it's a sure thing, but I want God to reveal that to me. Won't you slip your hand up and say, that's me. That's me, preacher. I want to find the perfect will of God for my life. God bless you. God bless you. Now, Father, the invitation now is yours. There are probably multiple other needs that need to be met in this invitation. There are some, Lord, that may have needs that weren't even preached on this morning or weren't even addressed. And my desire and my prayer this morning is that you would do in their heart what needs to be done. Now, Father, save those who raised their hand and said they needed the Lord. Those that need to be baptized, I pray that they would come this morning and be obedient to you. And then, Father, for those who are looking and searching for the perfect will of God, I pray that you'd open the door for them this morning and open their hearts to your will. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for your goodness and grace during this invitation time. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play. I'm going to ask our musician to begin to sing. And as he sings and as the piano plays, you come. If you raise your hand, say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." You come. You come. Come on. Come on. Here's some coming right now. There's two young men right here that raised their hand and said they need to be saved.
And he was
some raise their hand and say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but never been baptized." You come. We'll talk to you.
In his word.
You come. Whatever that need is, you come this morning.
Trust him,
some of you raised your hands and said, "Preacher, I need to know, find out what God's will is. Would you come?" We'll have one of our men pray with you. If you're a lady, we'll have one of our ladies pray with you. Say, "Preacher, I need to find out what the will of God is for my life."
Save you now.
Maybe he wants you to plug into one of the ministries here at the church. Maybe he wants you to teach something.